12:14 p.m. Need to approve the minutes from the prior meeting. Entertain a motion to approve.
A motion to approve. Second.
Any further discussion? If none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Sorry, I'm trying to swallow. Comments from the public? I don't think we have any today. Okay. Moving on, financial and bookkeeping matters, including payment of bills and adopt budget for fiscal year November 30th, 2018.
All right, that's me, and I was promised I could draw on the board, so y'all give me a reason to. If you guys have my report, it's like this. Of course, you can see that cash balance as of today there at the bottom. After we pay the bills, we are showing a deficit, but of course, we spoke to Tammy and all good. Page two, the top portion, you can see the activity since last time we met. Your developer did advance you $24,350. At the bottom there, those are the checks that I have for your approval today. They total $32,222.80. And then the final page is your budget actual, and I'm showing you 11 months ended October 31st. Of course, your variance, you're running under on revenue and expenses for what we originally budgeted for, but come to the meeting as much as I thought. And then if you will do me the last page, let's go ahead and hold off on this. We do have to put a new operating budget in place for 2018. But you can see I have a big zero under maintenance tax because we're going to talk about that later in the agenda. So then we'll just come back to what we should put in place based upon what tax we decide to do. So just approval of the bills is all I need.
As a motion, is that an approval of the
payment of bills?
Payment of bills. That's
yeah.
It?
And we'll go back after Alex. Report and adopt a budget for the fiscal year.
After we do his part.
Knowing
okay.
That you can always amend your budget at any time.
So does anyone want to make that motion?
I'll make that motion.
Thank you, Kyle.
I'll second it.
Thank you, Chuck. Any further discussion? If none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Authorized preparation and filing of annual financial report for fiscal year end November 30th, 2017.
Okay, so the law requires you either to file an audit and have an audit done if you have at least $250,000 that goes through your operating fund. If you do not have that much money going through your operating fund, all you're required to do is file a one-page annual financial report with TCQ. Your bookkeeper does that. It's basically just a one-page ledger that just shows cash on hand. So it's required to be done every year at the end of your fiscal year. So if you all could authorize your bookkeeper to make that filing with the TCQ on your behalf.
And that's the one page?
It's one page.
Yeah.
And you guys have done it before. We bring it to you to sign off on. So you can.
I'll make that.
Is that a motion? I'll make the motion to authorize that.
Thank you, Kyle. Second?
I'll second it.
Further discussion? If none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. All right. Conduct annual review of investment policy and adopt resolution regarding annual review of investment policy and adoption of amended investment policy. I need to say that like six more times in a row.
Exactly.
Amended investment policy. Amended investment policy.
State law requires you all to have an investment policy in place. You all have adopted that policy. There were a couple of changes in this last legislative session that requires a slight amendment. One is, and I don't think this will be an issue, and it's that you are not allowed to invest in what Sudanese and what's the other country that you're not allowed to invest in?
Sudan
and Iran. You're not allowed to invest in securities from either of those countries, and
we're
I think that's
there.
A big issue. The second is that anybody that you do business with has to sign a statement that they will not boycott Israel. Something else in the legislative wisdom.
What?
Really?
Yeah. Wow. It's a law that passes. And then there were some minor expansions to the types of securities that you all can invest in. As a general rule, and I know we've talked about this before, that you can really only invest in securities that are backed by AAA governmental credit. So that's the new state law. So we would recommend that you go ahead and modify your investment policy accordingly.
So
through all government entities. Yeah.
And your bookkeeper has completed her training as of the 21st. I am apprised of all changes. Okay.
And adopt an amended investment policy.
That incorporates the required changes of TCEQ, right?
The state legislature,
yeah. Sorry.
I would make that motion.
And I'll second that motion.
Further discussion? If none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Tax assessment and collection matters.
Okay, that's me. I did pass out the 3 months' worth of reports. Again, it's in there. Obviously, you don't have a tax rate, so there's a bunch of zeros on that report, but we have to prepare a report since we actually get a roll from Brazos County Appraisal District every month. If there's any changes with supplementals or correction or name changes, they're provided, so we prepare the report. The report, if you're looking for it in your stack of report, it looks like that. Right. And it's paper-clipped, all 3 months are paper-clipped for your record. The other thing is, I just want to tell you, Kyle, these banking documents I had you sign, since you are adopting a tax rate, we will have to open a bank account. Your bookkeeper is responsible for your operating capital project, which is your construction, and your debt service when you do sell bonds. We are responsible for your tax account. What happens is, once we send the tax bills out, we receive that money. It has to go in your bank account, your tax account. We end up transferring most of that money to your bookkeeper, who then puts it in the operating account if the tax rate is only for M&O. You know, there'll be a time when you sell bonds and your tax rate will get split between M&O and debt. So that money gets transferred to your bookkeeper. We will hold some money in your tax account because all your tax expenses have been paid through your operating account for your developer. So with the tax money, fees from our office, appraisal district fees, things like that, or if there's any kind of refunds that are going back to taxpayers, comes out of your tax account. So we will open that. I know Brian is not here today. All we need on the checks in the future is 3 signatures. Till we get him on there, he can't sign our checks. So we will bring this back. And then I had this other document that was signed by Hunter that he's just verifying that these are the directors on the board because we can't, from our office, it's not our account. I know we take care of it. It's your account. So the bank has to have that documentation. So I just want to kind of clear that up. And that's all I have right now on my tax report, unless anybody has any questions.
A lot of paper for a bunch of zeros.
Yeah.
I know we have to run it and keep it in this record.
As it relates to Brian, so you'll get his signature and then bring it back to me to verify that I know Brian?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Let the record reflect that.
Okay. So on page 3 of, I think, maybe your most recent October, you'll see what your role is as of 1/1/17. So you've just got, you know, $6 million in value out there at this point. So the levy this year, like every other taxing entity, will be based on the appraisal district's role, and it'll be based on what's on the roll as of 1/1/17.
And we will receive one for 2018 because they do it as of January 1. Sometime, you know, with Brazos, it's going to be probably around the summer of 2018.
Yeah. Good, quick.
Okay, no action to be taken there, just an update, correct?
Mm-hmm.
All right, can we move on to that?
Sure.
All right, adopt resolution concerning tax collection procedures.
Okay, and Kristen, you sent this around to them, I think. Okay, so this is a sort of our standard resolution that we recommend that most districts adopt when you begin collecting taxes. The tax law allows you to allow split payments of taxes. They allow you to give discounts for early payment, and they also have a provision where you don't have to send out a tax bill if it's less than $15. Generally, most of these procedures cost the taxing entity, you know, quite a bit of money, and it really doesn't Yeah, they don't come up that often, and it doesn't affect your tax levy. So we generally recommend that you reject those tax collection procedures. You can do it on an annual basis. If it ever becomes an issue, you can revisit it and institute.
In Brazos County, we split. People get the option split.
To split.
Sure, sure. And that's a bigger bill, though. I mean, this is a smaller. I mean, the difference is in larger jurisdictions. You know, you have a wider pool of tax revenues coming in to run your operations. In this jurisdiction, it's a small jurisdiction, you're going to need all your tax revenues collected sooner rather than later to, you know, to basically...
It's a relatively small portion of everybody's tax bill.
Yes, yes.
And also, let me just kind of say what we do in our office. As Annette said, you know, split payments, it actually slows down your collection. And when you're, I mean, you know, if you're collecting, let's just say, I'm just going to say, the county's collecting $1 million and you're collecting $100,000, you need all of your $100,000 as fast as you can. Or maybe they're $1 million, they can get $500,000 and kind of float.
Yeah, so
what we do in our office is we send out bills. Bills usually go out, like this is obviously out of the norm since the first year. We usually propose tax rates in October, adopt in November, and bills go out before Thanksgiving. And we might even do it earlier in this district. And once the bills go out, if someone wants to pay their taxes partial, like let's say it's $100, and they got their bill in October, they want to make a payment in November, December, and January, and they want to go, you know what, I want to pay $50, $25, we take it. It's not a split payment. That's like a partial pay, but they're not delinquent until February 1. So any money is better than no money. And if they are delinquent starting February, they're not delinquent on the whole $100. They're delinquent maybe $25, so the P&I is less. So you're kind of helping out the taxpayer. So we do that from our office. It's not part of the provision, but... It's not a split payment, but
taxes are due when taxes are due. But taxes, you will take payments all the way up until
up to that time. If after the fact, if they want to make a payment plan, there's two things. There's a House bill that was passed a couple of legislations ago, House Bill 1597, that allows them, if it's their homestead, we have to give them a payment plan option. Okay, in which we do. If it's not their homestead and they want a payment plan, we will bring that to the board.
Yeah.
And that's going to be up to you.
Yeah, I was going to say, the board always has the discretion to do something differently.
Our assessor collector gives you, when they send out the property taxes, that you have your options. You can pay, you can do a split of November and June or January. So how does that incorporate with our...
Well, we're waiving that as part of this.
That, so
we're saying it's all due
J31. It's all due February.
So do they have to pay a separate check when they pay their taxes if they split?
How do they do that, Alec? How does that work?
No, they will send a separate check to my office. So you'll get a bill, like if you get a county bill, it has the school district and the county. You will get a separate bill. It will come from Brazos County MUD 1, okay. And it's going to have my name on it as the assessor. So you just pay it straight to our office. And that's why I'm opening that bank account, because when that money comes in, it's going in Brazos County MUD 1's account.
And the reason we're not doing the split payment option is for cash flow purposes. Okay. So we need to, an official motion,
yeah.
We need to adopt the resolution concerning tax collection procedures, which is Section 2, rejects the split payment option.
I so move.
I'll second that.
All right, so I have a motion and a second in discussion. If none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. It's the right one, correct?
You got it.
All righty. That gets us to engage delinquent tax attorney.
Yeah, so you will, every taxing jurisdiction, once you get past a certain date, tax bills start to accrue a penalty. Under state law, that penalty goes towards paying a delinquent tax attorney
a collection agent.
Exactly. So once you adopt a tax, you're going to need a delinquent tax attorney in the event that there's taxpayers that are in need of additional motivation to pay the taxes. But it is a pass-through. It'll be a they are paid through the additional penalty that's added to their tax bill, so it will not be a district cost. So we use Purdue Brandon. I don't know who the county uses. Do you, Avik?
Pardon me?
Purdue Brandon is who we recommend, and they're kind of the most
prevalent. Yeah, Purdue Brandon, they are a huge law firm. They specialize, and they have a whole department that just specializes in MUDs, and they probably collect for over north of 200 MUDs. Or probably
is that 20% their standard rate?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's statutorily dictated.
Limited. Okay. Yeah. Gotcha.
So we'll go ahead and...
All right, so entertain a motion to, adopt the contract for collection of delinquent taxes as presented. Purdue, Brandon, Fielder, Collins, and Mott, LLP.
I so move.
Do I have a second?
I'll second that.
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Adopt resolution providing for additional penalty for tax collection costs.
And that goes along with your delinquent tax attorney. That's that additional 20% that's added on that goes to pay Purdue Brandon. So we recommend you all go ahead and adopt that penalty.
I move to adopt the collection penalty.
Second.
Further discussion? If none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Okay. Conduct public hearing regarding taxation of goods in transit under Texas Tax Code Section 11.253 and adopt resolution of tax goods in transit.
Okay, this is a one-time opt-out provision. Did y'all get our little handy-dandy one-pager that we distributed to you all? So goods in transit are inventory that is stored at a location for less than 175 days. We don't anticipate having any kind of permanent property owners that would actually be taking advantage of this goods in transit exemption. Once again, the same theory for opting out of this exemption is the same as before, and that you're a small jurisdiction, you will need all of your tax revenue. And the fact that this is not going to be an industrial deal where you're going to have inventory going right in and out, we recommend that you go ahead and opt out of the goods in transit exemption.
Which is what the resolution states.
Yes.
Is that usually for commercial property?
Industrial, really. Industrial. Manufacturing that have a lot of inventory that they're shipping in and out of state, and it's just it's an exemption that allows them to not have to pay taxes on that inventory that is.
That include automobiles?
Warehousing. I know. Well,
nice. Good job.
Very well
made. I was waiting for someone to sneak that in there.
Exactly.
And it drew a murmur.
Exactly.
Okay, so.
It's kind of for warehouses. Warehousing, industrial warehousing is what it's designed to.
Entertain a motion to adopt the resolution to tax goods in transit as proposed.
So moved.
Second.
Discussion? If none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Discuss the 2017 tax rate, set public hearing date, and authorize notice of public hearing regarding adoption of tax rate.
Okay, this is your last tax action for today.
I'm not sure I believe you.
In anticipation of having... imminent development out in the district. I think we're ready to go ahead and get your tax set. It's a two-step process under Texas law. You have to publish notice or mail notice to your landowners that you have an intent to adopt a tax rate and set a hearing date on that tax rate. We'd recommend you go ahead and do that at your next regular meeting. And you have a hearing, and it's just, we open it up to the public. Anybody that, is interested can attend. And that's the meeting where you actually adopt your rate. But what OVIC's notice or publication has to have is your rate that you're going to adopt. TCQ rules for Brazos County have a feasibility limit of $1 per $100 assessed valuation. That's about the max that you can levy. So you can publish notice of intent to levy an amount not to exceed $1. So we would recommend that you do.
And you'll advise us on that for next meeting.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Okay, the way this works, obviously you can, as Annette said, we can mail or publish notice in the paper. It's the Eagle around here, and I checked the price. It was like $678, something like that, to publish. So that doesn't make any sense, so we're going to mail notices. And you will get a notice in the mail. There's a certain language that goes in all notices, shows what your tax rate is, who voted for it. And I'm going to pass this form out. I want you to make sure that your name's spelled properly, and it's going, because it's going to show up. It's going to get mailed out to you, to
y'all.
Bill. But we have to mail them, and we have to keep it as record. And I have to also put the location and the date of the next meeting in that notice. So we need to know today if we're going to meet here and what date.
Eric.
Yeah.
You'll be here.
It's here.
And I'll pick the date.
Yep. You want to do the first, what are we, the first Friday usually?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. December 3rd?
Yes, first Friday.
December 3rd, work for everybody.
December 1st, correct?
Yeah, it's kind of the week after
Thanksgiving. It's a Friday, correct.
Yeah. Does that week after. Work for y'all, or y'all want to do the next Friday?
I'm available.
Okay. That was easy, because I had a meeting today that I published in this area that we couldn't get a quorum, so we have to republish and resend out. So it's really important that y'all show up and we can adopt the tax rate. And also makes the tax bills delays the tax bills from going out.
So the public hearing date will be December 1st.
Yes.
Do we need to formalize that in a motion? Or?
Yes. Yes.
So I'll propose as a motion December 1st as our public hearing date
and authorize the notice.
And as well as authorize the notice in my motion.
I'll second that.
And it'll be 12 p.m.
12 p.m.?
Okay.
December 1st, 12 p.m.
Got it.
I have a motion and a second. Any discussion? If none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Report on development in the district and approve amendment to the development and financing agreement.
Table that, but you can go ahead and do your
development. Because of the emergency catastrophe lease, our development has been pushed off by about 6 months. No other real changes. Last time we talked about what section, size of lots, all those type of things. The sewer line is being installed right now as we speak. We expect it by year-end to be completed. January 20th, they need to have that completed. So as for development, we're still putting in the sewer line. We're actually looking ahead where we have engaged the engineers to look at our next couple of phases. So we're going to go ahead and go to the design of that. The first phase design, we're waiting for one last permit from the City College Station that's in process. And then once that is given, we can come back and publicly bid a couple items and start construction on for phase one. And we're probably, I'm guessing March or April would be the earliest we'd be looking at that. Builder interest is still really high, and that's about it. We're just
how do they get the cars off your property?
Tow trucks.
They're actually exiting now, aren't they?
Yeah. The lease with Copart expires end of February. And I think end of February, I have to confirm that. They have the ability to extend the lease for two 3-month extensions. At the rate that they have been talking to us and showing, it's unlikely that they will be for the second extension. I wouldn't expect it at all. Maybe something in the other extension. They have There are still some cars coming in, but it's not of any volume. There are more cars going out, and they have a quota that they have to get X amount of cars out a day. And if you kind of do the math, it you know, mid-March, they should be all out of there.
How many total cars were there at the height?
I'd never counted them. They told us that that they would process between 30,000 and 35,000 cars.
Can you get a big driven off?
No. Not that I know of.
So the sewer line is the one from the condemnation, that's the one going right to the lift station and
to the sewer plant down Lick Creek plant. And actually, I forgot to print it out. We did an aerial flyover recently, shows all the pipe down there. It's already cleared. Elliott Construction, is Elliott? Yeah. Does a bunch of underground utility work here. He's kind of the guru of in this world of underground utility work, and he's putting it in, and that's going along just fine. So when we get ready for construction, and in our construction planning schedules, utility line's already there.
And the adjacent owner never ponied up to get a larger pipe or do any part with you guys?
No.
Unbelievable. Well, it's really not unbelievable.
But that's where we are in development.
So no action necessary.
No.
Okay, so we don't need to approve an amendment to the development financing agreement?
Not today. I'm going to bring it in December.
Later. Okay.
Yeah. So we'll and I'll just explain on the development financing agreements. We've had some organizational buckets. We have to put different entities in and different assets in, and the development agreements that Annette's been working on, finance agreements, are going to accurately reflect, so we know who is going to be looking at getting reimbursed at what time and for what amounts. And I just haven't got all that over to Annette yet.
Fair enough. All right, we'll defer action on that till next meeting. Next is report on engineering matters. I'm not going to read them all, but there's A3.
All right. So first one we have is authorization to design district facilities. As Bill mentioned, we've executed proposals with the developer for an off-site water line extension, which is going to go connect that same north corner of the property up to Pebble Creek Parkway. It's a 16-inch water line, and that's about 7,000 feet of water line. And then we've also have a executed contract for another section, for sections 101, and then also a contract for section 200. That's the all the utilities and the paving design. And so we're just requesting the board's concurrence on these authorizations. And if you want to go to the next one, and we'll go back and go to the next item, or do you want to finish that one?
Probably I'll just go through the whole report.
Okay, sounds good. And then the second one, part B, is the approval plans and special district facilities. We are not bringing any at this time. We don't have any plans to present, and then review of bids and awards of contracts. We've not bid any new projects as well. That's what we've previously talked about last meeting. And then part D, we have approval of pay estimates, change orders, and final acceptance as appropriate for district facilities. For the construction of the off-site sanitary sewer facilities, we do have two pay estimates. Elliott Construction submitted pay estimate number one in the amount of $220,259.70. And that's basically the beginning from September 5th through the 25th. And then we have pay estimate number two in the amount of $199,736.71 for September 26th through the 25th of October. Both of those, we've reviewed those and recommended payment by the developer. So, and then we do have a change order for the off-site sanitary sewer facilities, and that's in the amount of $71,250. And then we have, basically I have that for, we've got that approved, but I need we'll need signatures from the director on the change order. So I've got two copies right here for signature. And then the other project we have ongoing right now is the construction, the demo clearing, grubbing, and mass grading project. We do have two pay estimates on that one as well. There's same thing, September 5th, which was basically our initial mobilization pay estimate for $21,159.23. And this is to Texcon, General Contractors. And then we have pay estimate number two of $222,358.42 for the work from September 7th through the 30th of September.
I'll just give you just a little bit of development color on that. Is basically section one has been cleared and grubbed.
Yeah.
You know, so with the Copart lease coming in, we're delaying some of the dirt work and the major dirt work of that. So that's what those pay estimates are for, is the clearing and grubbing. So if somebody went out to the site right now and looked at it, they would see the area that phase one, the 150 lots are going to go in, section 100, is cleared. We got, you know, if we had to put silt fences, access, those types of things, and the mobilization goes with that. The change order for the sewer line really has to do with things that were encountered during digging. You know, yeah, if we, I'm going to use an example of, had to put extra base and gravel in because you got a low area, you may have had
soil
some
conditions, yeah.
Yeah, some soil conditions come up and things. Nothing that was what you would consider unusual for our area. So those are what, and so we'll pick back up on the rest of that dirt work contract when we're able to get our hands on all that.
Is Copart using that 150, the area where the 150?
Only 20 acres of it.
Okay.
Yeah, they because of the access to Peach Creek Cutoff Road, mm-hmm. they're needing a circulation, which basically is part of, is going to be our entrance into Section 100.
Right.
They were needing a certain portion of that land.
Okay.
And so that, in that land, it turns out that if we don't have that 20 acres, when we start moving dirt around, you know, you're remobilizing dirt for this 20 acres, or you're storing it somewhere else, and so you're moving dirt twice, and that's an expensive thing. Mm-hmm. So we just kind of said, well, we're just going to wait till we have all the elbow room needed for dirt moving. So yes, it does come to, it's encroached by right at 20 acres.
So can you shuffle the cars if necessary to make that available?
Copart's permission.
Right. I mean,
And we've actually been in conversation with them. They're very good people to work with. And so it's possible through some of the stuff that's going on right now that at, you know, it could be earlier than the termination of their lease, that maybe that 20 acres does become available. And we're just standing by to the point when we know we have that land back, that we will start pushing forward on the major dirt work. Because you have to remember that phase one of the dirt work items is a detention pond that serves an area greater than phase one. So there is a considerable amount of dirt work that you know, if you were putting this in a normal area where you already had your drainage, you already had all this stuff, it may not be as much. But we're going to be digging out a pond that's going to be a wet pond. So you have, you know, more dirt, and then you got to relocate that dirt, pack it, spread it. And so we have a lot of dirt work put in that first section.
Who's doing geotechnical?
What?
Who's doing your geotech?
Terracon.
And I guess during the design, were they doing it that your direction?
Yes, and also based on what the city's rules are. So
how do you mitigate on a go-forward basis change orders and design due to subsurface materials? Is there a better way to do that during your subsurface examination of geotech?
In the offsite sanitary sewer, because we were going through condemnation, we didn't have access to go and get all the bores. So we actually went and bid that without having...
Change order of that size and scope.
So to clarify on this change order here, this is the one we bid prior to having city approval. We had to go make a couple of changes. They made us shift the center of the sanitary sewer on the easement. We had it offset. So some little things that are addressed in this one, such as we had to add some piers to some aerial crossings they wanted that we didn't have. There would be a future change order that's addressing some of the field conditions that we're running into. that we're sort of just keeping the tally on right now as it goes. And those are the ones that are addressing the water that we've encountered through excavation and whatnot. So, but yeah, we did not have access for geotech, and so that's why you're seeing some of this stuff.
Makes sense.
Or you will see in the future change order those items.
So is there an action here, or is it just an update?
No, there's an action. So, Derek, don't you...
Yes, we should, the authorization to design district facilities and...
And make and pay the pay estimates.
And then, and then to pay the pay
approve
estimates.
The pay estimates.
And then to approve the change order.
Is that all one motion? Okay.
We will put all that in one motion.
All right. You want to take a shot at it,
I'll
Chuck?
Take a shot at it. I move that we pay the estimate payouts for construction that's been done. I move that we approve the change order from Elliott Construction due to the additional requirements from the city. And what was the other?
We authorized to design the district facilities.
Authorized to design the district facilities. Is that right?
As presented.
As presented.
Is that appropriate, Annette?
Perfect.
All right. So I have a second.
I'll second that.
Discussion.
Get all that.
If none, all those in favor signify by saying
aye. I would like him to repeat it one time.
Fast, aye.
And in reverse.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposals? None. All right. 14, discuss formation of committees and consider resolution establishing board policy regarding engineering construction committee,
right.
Which was in our packet.
That was in your packet. We talked a little bit about that last time, that in the event there's something that comes up, if there's a pay estimate that needs to be approved and paid, if there is a change order or a contract to recommend award in between board meetings, if the board so chooses, it can delegate that to a two-party committee.
So two-party.
Because anything more than that, you'd have to be formed.
Yeah.
So if you all believe just because if when construction really picks up, if there's additional approvals that are needed, or if you all are interested above and beyond kind of what is presented at the meeting, if two of you all want to form an engineering committee with the proviso that everything is either approved beforehand by the board or brought back to the board for approval. So the board would not.
And we're just really authorizing the committee creation, not naming
right.
members today,
right.
correct?
Okay.
It's just more of a policy.
Yeah.
Okay. And that committee can flex.
It can change. I mean, you could name two folks today and then it
change
can,
it next
yeah,
week.
Gotcha. It's not a.
I move to establish that board policy.
As written.
As written.
A second.
Discussion. If none.
Comments, questions,
Larry's observations.
Confused now.
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Review and update eminent domain report to the Texas Comptroller.
We'll file that on your behalf. Basically, the Comptroller wants to know every governmental entity that has used its condemnation powers within the calendar year, and this year you have not.
Do we need to ask?
So we will file that report with the Comptroller on your behalf.
So we did condemnation out of eminent
domain.
Same thing, but you did it last year.
Well, that was last.
Wasn't it last year?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Time flies.
Seems like yesterday.
Yeah.
So y'all can authorize us to make that file, and we'll do that for y'all.
Move that we authorize you to provide that report.
Next week?
Okay. I'll second that motion. Any discussion? If none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Report on legislative matters.
So this is something, our law firm is very involved with the legislative process. And we've got folks in Austin that, especially Kristen, it's Kristen's report. Kristen has
you know why they're
on behalf of clients, for the benefit of the industry. So, Kristen has probably prepared most of this. Our Austin office and Kristen has put together a update. It does not include the special session. And most of it is what didn't pass. So everything in the boxes in the report are bills that did not pass. As Kristen and her legislative team would say, we spent a lot of time playing defense up there. But it's sort of a overview of bills that affect the district practice, construction, building practice, And it does not include kind of an annexation bill that was part of the special session, but I don't think it affects Brazos County anyway. But whether y'all have any questions or you can call
us in general,
with any updates.
I'm just curious, without getting too granular, but just in general, big picture, during the legislative session, what's the general tone coming out of our legislature as it relates to laws related to
Well, first of all, I mean, you all remember, I can't remember what they call it, Kristen, the day that the House blew up everything on the calendar. It was a very contentious session, obviously. There was a lot that did not pass.
The Mother's Day Massacre.
Is that what they call it? The Father's Day
Massacre? Mother's Day.
Mother's Day Massacre.
Never pick on law.
Yeah, exactly. I think it's fair to say that management districts, when you say, Kristen, received heightened scrutiny this session. Mm-hmm. And there are a lot of proponents of districts and the development of community and the benefit to developments such as this. There's some skepticism as to, I think, management districts over commercial areas. Management districts over residential areas that don't have voted directors, unlike this. I don't think municipal utility district, there's the type of concern and skepticism at the legislature that there is management districts. There was a lot of, and like I said, I don't think Brazos County is a big enough county, but there's a lot of angst about annexation with cities. And so there was a bill that was passed, Senate Bill 6, during the special session that really affects large cities like Houston, and that in order to annex adjacent areas, you have to have a vote within that area. So it really prohibits and delays annexation unless there's a strategic partnership in place with that particular city that outlines the terms of annexation.
Like the one y'all have.
Yeah. So it has made it more difficult for big cities to annex.
But this didn't pass, correct?
That did pass.
It did pass.
But I think that Brazos County is...
It passed during the special session.
Special session, okay. So it's okay. Not in here.
That's okay. Just a regular session.
What were you going to say about Brazos County?
Oh, it's a small enough county where I don't think it applies. I think it's a bracket bill. I think it applies to like Harris County and bigger counties.
So it's a population-based?
Population,
okay.
Yeah.
Property tax efforts, nothing passed. But there's definitely, that will definitely be back.
There's always a lot of, yeah, and there's always also a lot of bills that want, kind of what, to Avik's point, more disclosure on if a governmental entity, not just districts, but all governmental entities, raise their O&M portion of their tax rate over a certain percentage, there is a lot of, in fact, I'm surprised it didn't pass, but there was a big push to have an automatic rollback election. Now you have to have a petition signed to the extent that a rollback election is going to occur. But in the bill that was being proposed, if your O&M portion of your tax rate exceeded, 8% and 5%, it would trigger an automatic election. So any, like City of Houston, if they needed to raise their O&M to make flood control repairs, over 8%, it would automatically trigger an election.
And the two chambers could not agree on what that percentage
should be.
I think they got to like 6, and somebody said we want 5, and it was like on a percentage. It's just, and you will have, we do prepare a rollback calculation. You don't have one this year because there's nothing to compare to from last year. And next year, even when we prepare that form, it's still going to be 0 because it only applies to homesteads. Unless there's homesteads, it's not going to apply, but we still do that rollback calculation. And actually, what is getting published in the paper, there's a calculation. That's what it's showing, that we are not exceeding that 8% in taxes. But again, this is your first year, so there's nothing to compare to. This is the beginning. This is your foundation. This is where we start. So.
There's always something about transparency is a ongoing theme. And the comptroller has made that a theme probably for the last 4 years. But one bill that came out of this session is that more financial information has to be filed at the comptroller's office. So it's effective as of 1/1/18. So we will have some additional information. So your audit is always filed with the TCQ. You have an information form that's filed with the TCQ. There's right now, I think your audit goes to the comptroller.
As of 2015 legislation.
Now there will be additional information that will have to be filed with the comptroller. And that's a response to folks saying, I live in a district and how do I find it and what does it mean and why am I getting this tax bill? So that's an ongoing theme. What else, Kristen?
Well, on that note, I just want to point out, I know Bill saw my email, and I know Annette saw my email. Brazos Central Appraisal District's been hounding me about your tax rate because they know we were setting a tax rate, and they have to talk about transparency. The appraisal district actually files with the state comptroller's office on their website tax rates for all jurisdictions. And I'm going to actually send, I told them I'm going to put big estimated. I know it's a dollar, but until it's adopted, to me it doesn't exist.
Another thing that comes up periodically is, what's on your ballots for all governmental entities. And so there was, I think, some laws passed to add additional information onto a ballot when you vote for any proposition. You're required, as you know, to file with the Texas Ethics Commission. We call them 1295 forms. Anytime a third party contracts with a governmental entity, they have to fill out a 1295 that shows that they don't have any relationships with the governmental entity, and those are filed with the Texas Ethics Commission. The statute that was existing was very time-consuming, labor-intensive, overbroad, and there were some tweaks made in this session, but Kristen doesn't think that enough was done. But that law is still out there, and once again, that kind of goes to the transparency, and that's really not even directed at districts. Mm-hmm. It's more directed at cities, counties that are giving big construction contracts to brothers-in-law. So,
what's the underlying reason the management districts are getting so much scrutiny? There has to be some reason.
Well, I think in general they probably have somewhat expanded powers. They can do more supplemental services as opposed to sort of your bread and butter, water, sewer, drainage, roads. They are typically appointed by the governmental authority. Like if they're within a city, they're typically appointed by the city. They're typically, or they could be appointed sometimes by the state, by the TCQ. They have just broader powers and abilities to do certain improvements, and I think there's some concern that there's overbroad,
there's
not
a
representative
couple,
of. There's sort of
there's
a couple bad apples
bad.
Is what's happened. There's a couple bad
That's
apples.
That's all it takes.
Yeah.
Yep.
So.
Okay. Anything further? Questions on legislative matters? All right. Meeting schedule and items for inclusion on the next agenda. I'm sorry.
Go ahead,
Rose. Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Apologize.
So I am totally taking a pen right now. Everybody can find my report.
She can draw on the board now.
I am.
Yeah.
Very
finally.
All right. So the very back page, I have three changes. And the first change is under expenses. We need to take out the tax assessor collector fees because he's going to pay himself out of the tax.
No, I'm not going to. You're going to pay me for the tax account.
So, wait, let me reward that.
Yeah, I was going to say that was shady.
So we're going to take this out, which means that the total expenditures at the bottom are actually going to equal $85,050, the total. And so that means for maintenance tax, with the dollar at our value, it's going to take in about this. And so that makes our developer advances 24,650. And that will equal
a zero budget.
Well, go ahead. We're not adopting the tax rate at this meeting, Rose. Mm-hmm. So why don't we go ahead and wait till, I mean, you can adopt a budget today, and why don't we amend it next month when you actually levy?
So do you want to adopt it as it looks on this page?
Yes. Let's go ahead and do that.
Without the change.
Without the change.
And then I'll bring a clean copy of this.
Yeah, because we're still
on December 1st.
It might not. Okay. So as is here, and then next month I will draw on the board. I'll bring you a thing.
Sorry, we stole that opportunity from you.
Hey, you still got to draw on the board.
I can tell.
You got to use the board.
I was going
to
say.
Just leave it on the board. You just use permanent.
Just leave it up there. Yeah. I mean, so at least you can see your work.
They don't use it.
Yeah.
It's all there for show.
Okay. All right, so adopt it as is, and the next month I'll have a clean copy of that, and you can. We'll see if we do it all.
Okay, now, start convening
into executive session. All right, convene into executive session pursuant to Section 551.071 Texas Government Code.
And then
a
paper.
Yay.
Thank you, Rose.
At 1:05.